Happy Sabbath, dear ones, and welcome to our main church service on this seventh day of May 2016. Welcome to those on the phone, those listening to the recording, those that have tuned in to WLMR Radio. It's a pleasure and a privilege to be in fellowship with you. And praise God that the servers that I vocalized that were down last Sabbath are now back up and working fine. And what a time for them to go down. I mean, they were working Friday evening. We had our church service without any problems. But then Sabbath morning, everything was not working properly. And it was a hardware failure at their office, and it took them the rest of the day to get it repaired. But praise God that everything is fine. We're able to come back together in fellowship and then digging in God's word of inspiration to find a thus saith the Lord. And it is written, and precious treasures of truth. Our opening song is O Solemn Thought. O solemn thought, and can it be the hour of judgment now is come, which soon must fix our destiny and seal the sinner's fearful doom. Yes, it is so, the judgment hour is swiftly hastening to its close. Then will the judge in mighty power descend in vengeance on his foe. He who came down to earth to die, an offering for the sins of men, and then ascended up on high, and will ere long return again, is standing now before the ark and mercy seat and chair you bear, to plead his blood for saints and make the last remembrance of their sins. The solemn moment is at hand when we who have his name confessed, each in their lot must singly stand and pass the final searching test. Jesus, we hope in thee alone, in mercy now upon us look. Confess our names before the throne and blot our sins from out our book. O blessed Savior, may we feel the full importance of this hour. Inspire our hearts with holy zeal and aid us by thy Spirit's power, that we may in thy strength be strong and brave the conflict valiantly. Then on Mount Zion join the song and swell the notes of victory.
Sabbath blessings, everyone. If we could all bow our heads and our hearts and come humbly before our Godhead. O righteous and heavenly Father, thank you, dear Father God, for waking us up this morning and taking us safely through the week, dear Father, I pray. Lord, I pray that you forgive us all for our sins and our iniquities and our shortcomings. And I want to thank you for the lessons that we have been partaking of, not just today, but from our opening up our Sabbath last night, dear Father God. Help us, dear Lord, to search ourselves according to the words of truth and inspiration that has been given out of your holy decalogue, dear Father God, in your word, dear Father. Help us not to just be hearers of the words, but to be doers and to really give ourselves to you, dear Father God, for us to be a vessel to be used for your doings, dear Father God, I pray. Let your light so shine upon us, dear Father God, and reflect, God, in us. Please help us, dear Father, in that way. Forgive us, dear Father, for each and every one of the sins that we have done, whether it be in thought, in deed, in act. Dear Father, what more can I ask of thee? Please, Lord, bless each and every one of us that are here today, for those that are listening over the phones, for those that will be listening to the recording at a later time, for those brethren that are not present with us today, wherever they are, dear Father, touch them from the top of their head to the bottom of their feet and make them whole according to your perfect will, dear Father, I pray. Please open up our hearts, dear Father, and please let us not harden it at any time and let you come in when you knock on it, dear Father God, I pray. We know that we can do nothing without you, nothing at all, whether great or small. And let us not think of ourselves in any high regards, dear Father God, because we are nothing but dung, dear Father. Forgive me, especially for my sins and my iniquities, for they are plenty. And help me to do according to your perfect will. Please bless the sick and afflicted, the shut-ins, dear Father, I pray. Help them to restore health, dear Father, to us all, whether it be health and the mind and physical being, in thought, wherever it is, dear Father God, help us to regain it according to your perfect will. We know you are the master physician, the master healer of all things, and you can make us whole according to your perfect will and according to our faith, dear Father. So I pray that you increase that, our patience and our temperance and our charity. Thank you for all that you have done and all that you will continue to do in our lives. Truly, Father, search us, and if there be any wicked thing in us, help us to see it and give it to you accordingly, and to really, truly create a clean spirit within us, dear Father. And this is my prayer on this blessed Sabbath day. Amen.
Amen. And thank you, dear sister. Well, this is part 4. This is the last part in the series on the family unit. And for those that would like to follow along with the quotes and the notes that I'll be referring to, you can find these on our website at lightministries.com/SDA/ID1488.htm. And last time in part 3, we discovered that the meaning of husband is house band. And so the father, as a priest king in the home, is to take the role of lovingly leading all the family together towards God and in becoming a strong and unbreakable unit. And we also learned that the mother, as a missionary queen, has the great responsibility of lovingly supporting her husband and in educating her children in all aspects of living a Christian life. And we then saw that the children are to humbly and lovingly follow and fully cooperate with their parents in growing more and more like God in character and in action. And then we also amazingly understood that how boys treat their mothers or how girls treat their fathers will be an indicating factor of just how they will treat their future spouses once married. Then we learned that a well-disciplined, loving, and godly family unit would be responsible for preaching one of the greatest sermons to unbelievers and will lead them to understand that God has the power to change lives for the better. All because of their family. And each member of such a family unit as this will indeed be enjoying the sweet heavenly peace and joy from God. But dear ones, this heavenly peace is fragile, and so it must be continually nourished by each family member if it is to survive on a daily basis. All it would take to destroy this peace in the entire family is just for one member to selfishly act out of line or refuse to fulfill their responsibilities. But there is another way of quickly destroying this heavenly peace within the family unit besides the lack of one or more family members living up to their particular duties and responsibilities. And this great peace-destroying evil is the lack of maintaining the sacredness of the family circle. And it is this great evil that we're going to be learning about today in this fourth and last part of this series on the family unit. If you look at quote number one, exactly what is this sacred family circle? From the Adventist Home on page 177. The home circle should be regarded as a sacred place, a symbol of heaven, a mirror in which to reflect ourselves. Friends and acquaintances we may have, but in the home life, they are not to meddle. A strong sense of proprietorship should be felt, giving a sense of ease, restfulness, trust. So this family circle is like a sacred sphere or a bubble surrounding the family unit as a whole. And each member of the family is to view themselves as an integral part of this whole family unit and thus part owner of it. That's the sense of proprietorship. You're part owner of the family, since you're a member. So then as owners, each member has a vital interest in protecting and seeing the family unit prosper and enjoy happiness, contentment, and peace. So then this means that those who are not part of this family unit and thus are not owners of it are outside this sacred circle, and thus they have no right to know or to interfere and meddle in any of the affairs of the family. Now, if you look at quote number two, so then how can this sacred circle surrounding each family unit become broken? One of the greatest ways to break this family bubble is by one or more of its members betraying family secrets to others. In the Adventist Home on page 177. There is a sacred circle around every family which should be preserved. No other one has any right in that sacred circle. The husband and wife should be all to each other. The wife should have no secrets to keep from her husband and let others know. And the husband should have no secrets to keep from his wife to relate to others. The heart of his wife should be the grave for the faults of the husband, and the heart of the husband the grave for his wife's faults. Never should either party indulge in a joke at the expense of the other's feelings. Never should either the husband or wife, in sport or in any other manner, complain of each other to others for frequently indulging in this foolish and what may seem perfectly harmless joking will end in trial with each other and perhaps estrangement. I have been shown that there should be a sacred shield around every family. So then the faults of the wife are to be kept within the heart of the husband, and he has no justified right to share his wife's faults with those outside of his immediate family. That's what it means to have this sacred circle, this bubble or shield around the immediate family. And the wife should not feel that it's okay for her to share her husband's faults with anyone else but her husband. That's what it means for the husband and wife to be all to each other. From Testimonies, Volume 2, page 462. Oh, how many lives are made bitter by the breaking down of the walls which enclose the privacies of every family and which are calculated to preserve its purity and sanctity. A third person is taken into the confidence of the wife, and her private family matters are laid open before the special friend. This is the device of Satan to estrange the hearts of the husband and wife. Oh, that this would cease! What a world of trouble would be saved! Lock within your own hearts the knowledge of each other's faults. Tell your troubles alone to God. He can give you right counsel and sure consolation, which will be pure, having no bitterness in it. So, if your husband has faults, that doesn't seem to be remedied in quick fashion, then as a wife, don't seek counsel from those outside of your immediate family. Go to God. Ask him for guidance, and then search in his word of inspiration for that counsel that you need. And God will send the Holy Spirit to guide you to the exact portion that you need to know what to do, how to go about it. And the same for the husbands. Don't tell others about your wife's faults. Go to God. He has the power to change lives. Don't bring a third party into the marriage. Maintain that sacred circle, that shield from outsiders. Amen. The marriage is sacred. So this means that all members of the family unit, including children, must learn that silence is golden. We must learn to keep our mouths closed when we're encouraged by our friends, by outsiders, to reveal the faults, the defects of character in our spouses or our children. And some schools that are educating our children are putting pressure and are encouraging the children to talk about and reveal what is going on within their family. So just because these outsiders may be your relatives or close friends or perhaps your teachers does not give any family member the right to relate to these people family issues and family secrets. They're to keep the sacred circle and shield surrounding their family intact and are not to break it down. In quote number 3, we're told in Proverbs 11:13, a talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. And in Psalms 141, verse 3, set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Now, if you look at quote number 4. Now, apart from betraying family secrets to others, what is the greatest destroyer of the peace of the family unit? It is selfishness and uncontrolled passion. Any lack of self-control will automatically destroy the peace, the sacredness, and the union of the family. And it is the greatest cause of breaking up or estranging one or more members from the other. And it will ultimately lead to the loss of souls. Selfishness and uncontrolled passion, dear ones, is the greatest cause for marriages ending in separation and divorce. We're told in the Adventist Home on page 421, by speaking kindly to their children and praising them when they try to do right, parents may encourage their efforts, make them very happy, and throw around the family circle a charm which will chase away very dark shadow and bring cheerful sunlight in. Mutual kindness and forbearance will make home a paradise and attract holy angels into the family circle. But they will flee from a house where there are unpleasant words, fretfulness, and strife. Unkindness, complaining, and anger shut Jesus from the dwelling So what shuts the angels and Christ out of our homes? Selfishness and uncontrolled passion. How do we allow the presence of heavenly angels and the presence of our Savior to remain in our homes? By speaking kindly one to another. By mutual forbearance. Being kindly affectioned one to another with love. Then there won't be any unpleasant words. There won't be any fretfulness or complaining or strife or anger. Because Christ is there to help. So now, what would occur if there were no unpleasant or unkind words spoken in the family? What would happen if there was no fretfulness or complaining or anger or strife among any members of the family unit because self was kept under control? If you look at quote number 5, well, there would be no divorce. Because it would be the joy of each spouse to make the other happy. We're told in Proverbs 5, verse 15 and 18, drink waters out of thine own cistern and running waters out of thine own well. Let thy fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife or husband of thy youth. And in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 10 to 17. And unto the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, let not the wife depart from her husband, but, and if she depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband. And let not the husband put away his wife. But to the rest speak I, not the Lord. If any brother hath a wife that believeth not, and she be pleased to dwell with him, let him not put her away. And the woman which hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. But if the unbelieving depart, let him depart. A brother or a sister is not under bondage in such cases, but God hath called us to peace. For what knowest thou, O wife, whether thou shalt save thy husband? Or how knowest thou, O man, whether thou shalt save thy wife? But as God hath distributed to every man, as the Lord hath called every one, so let him walk. So if there were no unpleasant or unkind words or fretfulness, complaining, anger, or strife among any of the family unit because self was kept under control, if you look at quote number 6, then there would be no adultery because the body of the husband is the property of his wife and vice versa. In 1 Corinthians 7, verses 1 to 5, now concerning the things whereof ye wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Nevertheless, to avoid fornication, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. The wife hath not power of her own body, but the husband. And likewise also the husband hath not power of his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not one the other, except it be with consent for a time, that you may give yourself to fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. So if there was no unpleasant or unkind words because self was kept under control, then in quote number 7, there would be no generation gaps or barriers due to age differences, because the attitude of I know better and am wiser than my parents would not be followed by children when facing important decisions in their life. In 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 3, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men and women shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. In Proverbs 11, verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors there is safety. Proverbs 13, 1. A wise son or daughter heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke. And in Proverbs 1, verses 8 to 9, my son or daughter, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head, and chains of gold about thy neck. So in other words, precious treasure are found in the counsel and instruction of parents to their children. If self was kept under control by each member of the family, then in quote number 8, there would be no drug abuse or suicidal thoughts, because there would be no reason for self-pleasing with the drugs, and thus no need to find an excuse from life's pressures. We're told in 2 Timothy 3, verses 1 to 2 and 4. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come, for men and women shall be lovers of their own selves, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God. Proverbs 28, verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, but whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered. In Psalms 37, verses 3 to 5 and 7 to 8, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for him. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, such as suicide. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. And then in Isaiah 26, verses 3 to 4. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, if self-control was maintained by every member of the family, then quote number 9, there would be no crime because there would be no need to find excitement at the expense of others or to rob them of their possessions. We're told in Romans 13, verses 8 to 10, love one another, for he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. For this minute.